Welcome to episode 3 of the Fed Ninjas podcast. And thank you all for writing in your questions. Today's question that our good buddy over here, Eric, is going to answer today is, well, actually, it's a two-part question. What is the difference between a JAB and an agency-sponsored ATO? And then the second part of that is one recommended over the other? All right, Eric, what do you think?
All right. Well, 10-4, good buddy, Maurice. These are questions that people ask me a lot, and it's the technical terminology. I'll kind of break that down into a business sense because people don't really know these acronyms and they shouldn't have to know them. They should just know that one of them requires more effort than the other, thus more time, thus more money, and so forth. The reason and rationale that they're doing them is also different. Mm-hmm. So to break it down, and the first one of these that I did was it's called a joint authorization board authorization for FedRAMP Cloud. And that's to get, again, the goal is to get federal cloud authorized to be able to sell cloud services to federal government. Just think, if I'm iTunes, you know, let's say that, for instance, it's a multi-tenant SaaS cloud. And right. So government wants to use it, shouldn't use iTunes. Let's use another example, something like iTunes, right? And they want to use it. Well, they can't use it if it's cloud service unless it has the FedRAMP authorization. So just replaying that a little bit. But there's different types of these. And so when I started, we didn't already have an agency customer. And so the agency customer was using our on-premise software and they wanted to use the cloud software. I realized like they're spending a good amount of money with our other software. And I can see why they want to use the cloud software, because that enables them to focus on their core competency of their business. The way that I saw this was, hey, we could do one of these JAB authorizations without already having a customer because they're already buying from us. So that was the rationale. Mm-hmm. So what that means is to do a joint authorization board authorization, that entails personnel from the joint authorization board that you're going to be working with. And so that's DOD, DHS, GSA, ooh, and other agencies and the CIO levels of them. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
That is intense. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how hard is that to orchestrate?
Again, like we talked about before, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I just knew my customer wanted it. So I did it. So yeah, in order to do one of these, you go to Washington, D.C., you meet with them, you say, here's our application and here's what it is. Now there's a qualification process that they only take so many of these per year. And the reason is the Joint Authorization Board is very busy and they have to put a lot of time into this and they're doing other things. These are the CIO level people of those organizations. They're very smart. They realize the value. They want to make sure that you're doing this right. They put a lot of time and effort. And I found that doing this process. Right. So that is that path. And it's longer and more intense. And you don't have a customer really to start out with. You have the investment knowing you're going to be able to sell it to government. And in front of that is a pre-qualifier. And the reason there's a pre-qualifier is to make sure that people are serious about selling their cloud service to government. And so it's a FedRAMP ready phase. So you actually get audited, you make sure you have your documentation, you have a system security plan, you have all the other associated things, you have people that know their roles, how to support it, to be able to meet that FedRAMP ready requirement. And that is, those requirements are listed on the FedRAMP.gov site. And so that's a question that people have asked me, saying, hey, you've gone through this, you know, how do you do it?
Right.
The other path, I believe, is probably a more optimal path. And probably because of that qualification that the Joint Authorization Board only takes so many of these per year. And again, they're busy. And so the best way to do it is to find an agency that could use your cloud service. And again, we've used like inventory management or collaboration cloud services as an example. And so maybe they have an RFP out there that says, hey, we're looking for this. And then you're a cloud service, you're saying, we have this. Then you meet with the agency. And at that point, you understand the level of maybe the investment that they're willing to spend. Mm-hmm. And you get to a closer point where maybe they can look at this like a proof of concept, proof of value, test it with non-production data, of course, just test the functionality. And then maybe you can arrive to where you have some sort of a contract discussion that says, all right, we're getting serious about this. We would like to go through this agency authorization path that FedRAMP.gov offers as federal cloud authorization. If you're wanting to buy this in the contract, we can put, we're going to go through that process. We're going to get authorized. It's going to entail having a third-party auditor ensure that we meet the merit of this. We do it to the FedRAMP PMO, Project Management Organization satisfaction, and then we do it all correctly and that it gets certified, gets authorized, and we are going to have management commitment on our side that's going to enable budgeting and people to be able to work on this properly.
Right.
Now, that is probably the most optimal path if you have an agency that maybe is already using your cloud service before a lot of these came into law, or if they are interested and you have that sort of agreement. So that's the difference between both of those. With the agency path, you use what's called an agency authorizing official. And this is something that I saw on premises over 10 years ago when I was working at government sites. They had an agency authorizing official and they said, oh, you're going to rebuild the server. Give me a diagram of what this looks like. And what is the network diagram? What is the other servers it talks to? What are the protocols that it's talking to? What does that network look like? And what does the diagram look like? And what is the system security plan? So they basically do the same thing. The authorizing official oversees it, makes sure that you're going to have the right controls for that agency and that you're following this process that FedRAMP has laid out for you.
I know you said the agency authorizing official. Is that the same thing as ATO? And again, this has come from a complete novice point of view.
It's a good question. ATO is authority to operate. You can have ATO with on-premise systems, but that's a good point where the AO meshes in with that, because the authorizing official is that gatekeeper of security for the agency. Got that it. Says, I've looked at this and I am going to grant my approval for this to go forward for an authority to operate. And then in this case with FedRAMP with cloud services, it passes up to the FedRAMP PMO. They go through final reviews and they ensure that it meets the merit. What the third-party auditors have found, that the CSP has remediated, the cloud service provider has remediated to that satisfaction, that it's gone through the authorizing official's approval, and then it goes through the final FedRAMP PMO. So it's a very rigorous process, but it's built that way on purpose to make sure that you're doing it properly.
Wow, what I like about that, it's like you have your insider because you've already been working with the individual. Go, hey, no, these guys are great. And then they have all the documentation so that instead of going through the more formalized joint operation board, this is, it seems like be an easier path.
You also have that. So you also have that, but it's just quicker because you can engage with that agency quicker. And then, of course, you've got to get on the FedRAMP timeline. You've got to get listed as in the marketplace on FedRAMP.gov as in process. Then you've basically got a year once you get listed. So you got all this preparation work, draft system security plan, draft documentation, building up your system, gap analysis. Then when you're ready and the PMO says you're ready and you've got an authorizing official that says, yes, I will be working with you on this and understanding that whole process, then you get listed. Then you've got roughly a year to get done, which they do that so that they get the cloud service providers that are serious about doing this.
Yeah, man, that's a long time, a potential year-long process. And so this isn't something, hey, like putting in an LLC, put it in, pay my fees, and we're good to go. This is a vetting process.
That's a good point. And the reason that's a great point, look at the business context. If you are an investor of this, and let's say you're operating this for commercial customers, you just go out there, you find customers, they find you.
Yes.
You have meetings, you show them how this works. They do a proof of concept or a proof of value. They test it. They say, yeah, I want to buy it. You write up a contract. You use one that typically you've used before. It goes back and forth between the lawyers on their side that's going to buy it and the lawyers on your side. Once they get to an agreement, then it's signed and you have an agreement that you're going to buy it for like a year or 3 years or whatever, right?
Right.
That's how easy it is to do it in commercial. It's different in federal because there's laws, and there's laws for reasons because of risk. And that's the main acronym. That's the name letter in this is risk. Is,
yes, yeah,
these are government systems. There's many third parties, fourth parties, fifth parties that are reliant upon this. And even us as citizens that are using these systems that our government is using, it's very important that it's done right. And so it's good for regular people to know there's a rigorous process that government goes through using cloud systems that people build.
That makes me feel a little bit better as far as safety is concerned. And hey, this is a succinct process so that we can ensure that you don't run into dangers in the wild, wild west.
Well, that's why I like it. I was using NIST before FedRAMP came about because FedRAMP was based on NIST. And so I was doing work in an enclave using NIST, and we were starting to build our data center infrastructure as a service back in about 2010 based on NIST controls. Mm-hmm. And that way, you know, it's been shut down since because other ones were able to do it more efficient, I guess.
Right.
And, but we built on top of it, I believe, and I've used this for other critical systems, other critical infrastructure. So finance, energy, healthcare, all of those critical infrastructures, food supply, different things like that, that are reliant on these. I've used that as parameterized security controls saying, look, in order to do this, you have to have a threshold of 15 or whatever it might be. And it's, so it's very prescriptive. It tells you what to do. It tells you every single thing what to do. And so you have to analyze your system, both doing the job path and the agency path. You have to sit down and do a gap assessment. But that's when it shows you as a security practitioner saying, wow, if I was doing this on my own, I know that there's cryptography type of controls like encryption, right?
Right.
So I've got an encryption key. I'm going to a website that's HTTPS. So I want to make this as common as like if my banking site, it's HTTPS, it's encrypted. I'm at Starbucks. Somebody can't listen like over the network. They can't use software to be able to understand what's going back and forth across that transaction over wireless, right? You can do that with free software. You can do it with software called Wireshark. It's kind of fun to really see how that works in a test environment, not a production environment. But interesting because you have to have these certain encryption controls and other controls in place. So you have to prove them. And it's nice to be able to apply these type of things that are very prescriptive, telling you what exactly to do, and then putting that into other environments like finance, banking, and others. Right. But then also doing that assessment saying, yeah, this particular control is super important. Our customers have said so. Our shareholders have said so. Our C-suite has said so. And we're going to do those and do them right and show that we're doing them right and show evidence. And that's going to get our prospects to use this and give us a differentiator in the market.
Now, why would anyone want to not go through a process like this or be associated with a company that go through a process like this in order to ensure that they are secure? Because when you just use that Starbucks example, I wouldn't have ever thought, oh man, is someone monitoring my transactions there? And if they had that capability, I wouldn't have been aware of that my information is being stolen right there. But it sounds, and again, this is based on my limited knowledge, but if they went through the procedure, that would take that level of a concern out of the picture because it has been vetted like that. And if that's accurate, why wouldn't people, again, going back to that original question, why wouldn't they want someone that's been FedRAMP vetted?
Come on, just trust me. Like, I've done all the correct security things. Like, yes! Just trust me. Because it's really freaking hard. That's why when people look at it the first time. Now, if you've done this, if you've worked in a NIST environment and you have to do these things and you've got teams that are doing these things and you've observed what is required, you've observed and worked with collecting evidence and sending it up to government authorizing officials, you understand the rigor of this. But if you look at it for the first time, so let's say your company sells whatever widgets on a multi-tenant SaaS cloud and government wants to use it. They're like, oh yeah, we're doing this really great worldwide or nationally or whatever. Now government wants to use it. So, okay, security people, go do this. If they've never heard of these type of frameworks like NIST or others, it's really hard. Now, granted, there's other ones, ISO 27001, 02, SOC 1 and 2.
Right.
A lot of cloud services are using those controls, which are good. That's a good start. If you're already doing those, you can take that next leap into a NIST-based framework.
There's some great information. It amazes me every time that you have this, a simple question. It has such a deep level of work in order to make it happen. And what I appreciate about what you said is that not only is it there to help protect, it also makes me understand that if I ever wanted to do this, there's a certain level of due diligence. This is something that I can't just walk into and think it's going to be done. And again, this is coming from someone that was not familiar with this world, but it certainly has made me appreciate the efforts that have gone in to make it secure. And thank you for bringing it to light for me.
Yeah, I mean, in a summary, the security controls are commensurate to the value of what's contained in the system. So if it's customer data, if it's financial data, if it's intellectual property, if it's employee data, whatever it is, and there's regulations and there's sometimes really steep fines for mishandling that. So security controls are commensurate with whatever you're protecting on that system. And so there's, like in the FedRAMP world, there's impact levels. The agencies are aware of all of these.
Right.
There are baselines that are low impact, moderate level, high level. So just depends on what you're protecting.
Well, I'm looking forward to our next podcast because I learn every time we have these discussions, and I'm grateful for the audience and continuing to send these questions to us. If anyone else does have a question, please feel free to send it to us at info@fedninjas.com. And we will do our best to answer all those questions. So until next time, we will continue to do all we can to help you in your endeavors.